number of different teachings having to do with this. Way back when we were in Nickel Hall, it seems so long ago, but we started talking about abiding, and so we're going to tie that in here. But we also were talking about the apest gifts. You'll recall apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And we talked about what does abiding do. It produces something in us, and for some of us, it'll produce these gifts. And I remember a couple of weeks ago talking about the gift of evangelism, just praying that God would release that gift in the church. And as we begin this morning, our season, and I'm calling it prayer, fasting, and equipping, we're going to pull all of these different threads together. So stuff that we've been talking about for a number of months. And I hope that together, in very practical ways, we'll be able to not only pray and fast, but also to equip our church together. So I want to give you a little bit of context to let you know how we're going to spend these next 6-7 weeks together. So we're going to begin today by talking about prayer. And so when we're talking about prayer, a little later on, I'm going to ask you to think about people that you will commit to pray for during this season of prayer and fasting, praying for people who don't know Christ. And so we're going to do some really practical things with that this morning. Next week, we're going to add fasting to that prayer. So we're not going to start the fasting this week. Next week, I'm going to talk about that and how we'll tie fasting into the prayer for these people that we want to come to know Christ. And then weeks 3 through 6 will all be about equipping. Different behaviors that we can learn, different things that we can do, different disciplines that we can practice, skills that we can learn in representing Christ. So rhythms and tools of conversation to actually equip us to prepare or to present the gospel. And then week 7 will take us ultimately to Pentecost Sunday, which is the day of celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we're just looking forward to this whole season together, not coming to a close, but actually introducing us to these rhythms that we want to carry on. Praying for people in our lives that don't know Christ isn't a 7-week project. The prayer and fasting, or the fasting part maybe, but the prayer, I'm hoping that we'll establish disciplines and that we will keep them going. So today we want to begin with prayer. And I want to share with you a perspective on the work of evangelism, a way of thinking about how we do this as a church that I think will help shape these next 6 weeks, and again, tying together some of the themes that we've been talking about. And I want to begin by talking about Michael Frost. He is a pastor in Australia, a missiologist. He's probably one of the best-known writers in the area of equipping the church for mission and equipping the church to make disciples to live on mission. He wrote a book a number of years ago. It's called Surprise the World. Surprise the World. And the title is 5 Habits of Highly Missional People. And in that book, he makes a distinction of 2 different types of the work of evangelism. 2 different types. First, he talks about the work of the evangelist. And he says the work of evangelist, as you can see, is to boldly proclaim the gospel and to make it clear, a bold and clear presentation of the gospel. And he uses Paul as the example of this. Paul would go to different cities and he'd find places and he would proclaim the gospel. What's interesting, Michael Frost says, is that Paul never asked other people to do what he did. He never told other people, go into other cities, find the Areopagus, and preach the gospel. The evangelists will do that work, but he says there is work that all of us should be doing in evangelism. And so he talks about the work of the body, which is to pray, to be generous in the relationships that we have with people that don't know Christ, and then thirdly, to provide gracious answers to whatever questions people would have. And so he makes this clear distinction. He says, not everyone is a gifted evangelist. Not everyone is given a platform to boldly proclaim the gospel in these settings. But he says, surely everyone is called to pray. Everyone is called to be generous in their relationships. and to learn to speak with grace about what Christ has done in our lives, to tell our story of grace. Now, this leads me to the scripture that Sean read for us just a few moments ago. And you'd really have to listen carefully to pick up how that scripture ties into what we're talking about. But the scripture that Sean read, Paul was writing to his disciple, Timothy. Paul would go around planting churches. Sometimes Timothy was with him. And then he would leave and go to proclaim the gospel in the next town. And he would leave Timothy behind to disciple the new believers. And so Timothy's job was to take the new believers and establish a church, turn them into a church, help them understand what living as Christians means. He was called to establish elders for the church. And the theme of Timothy's ministry was consistently, if you look through the writings that Paul gives to him, about discipling new believers, establishing leadership for the church, what's the role of elders, what are the qualifications of elders, and of making sure that there's no false doctrine coming into the church. So Paul was this apostolic evangelist going out and proclaiming the gospel. Timothy was this apostolic teacher who was setting up the systems of a healthy church. So Timothy was not an evangelist. Paul was the evangelist. And so in that scripture that Sean read for us, most of the letter is about doctrine. Establish elders, beware of false teachers. And then it says that you have to really be careful for people who, I love this phrase that Paul uses, people have itchy ears. They just want you to scratch their itch. They want you to talk about the things that are important to them. And they want you to teach doctrine in a way that they like. So it's not offensive. It's not really proclaiming the gospel. It's proclaiming something that people will be comfortable with. And boy, you think what a danger that is today, and how many churches have fallen into that danger of not proclaiming Christ, but proclaiming something that's acceptable to the world. And so in the midst of that, Paul says, don't give in to that. Don't do the itch your ear things. He says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and then this, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Was Timothy an evangelist? I don't think he was. Timothy was an apostolic teacher, which happens to be my gift mix. And setting up the church and laying solid doctrine and doing all those leadership things that Timothy's doing as part of his gifting, and yet here Paul says to him, do the work of an evangelist. And so I've been thinking about what that means for our church, and specifically what that means for me. A few weeks ago, we looked at this grid, and we'll put it up on the screen together again, about APES. Do you remember the teaching about apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers? And on the left-hand side, we have this column that is what happens to us when we're born again. The Spirit comes into our lives, and the Scripture uses a couple of phrases. One is that we are now in Christ, but the other is that Christ is in us. The other thing that happens is the Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, because Christ is in us and because the Holy Spirit in us, the full potential of all spiritual gifts now reside in each one of us. Because every gift comes from the Spirit, if the Spirit is in us, the potential is there for any spiritual gift to reside in us. And the Holy Spirit simply says, hey, for you, I'm gonna highlight this gift, and for you, I'm going to empower this gift. And he turns it into this dynamic system where all the gifts are given to the body. And so what we said is the potential is there for all of us to have all of these gifts. So what do? We start in that blue column with entry-level behaviors. There are things that every follower of Christ can do in each of these five areas. For the apostolic, basically to be apostle means to be sent. A new believer can be sent. When we have new believers, the first thing we want to do is say, hey, who can you tell about what Jesus did to you? What he's done for you? Tell your family, tell your best friend, tell someone about Jesus to be sent. It's really that simple. All of us have the gift of shepherding, the responsibility of shepherding. We're all called to encourage one another. Nobody gets off the hook on that one. We're all called to all of these, and so there are behaviors that all of us do in each of these areas. They're very simple, introductory level behaviors. And from our practicing of behaviors, we will discover that, boy, this actually feels really fun. I get real joy out of this. And there are people who will say to you, you know, you're actually really effective, that when you say these things, it's really helpful, encouraging to us. I think maybe you have the gift of encouragement, or maybe you have the gift of teaching, or maybe you have the gift of evangelism. But it's by practicing these things that we discover what our gifts are. From that gifting, eventually, we are looking then for people who might be the prophets, not just the gift of prophecy, but someone who could equip the work of prophecy within the body. So we have this development going on. Now, here's what's really interesting. What happens in our church if we don't have anyone that we could call the evangelist? What happens if we don't have not only the gifting for evangelism, but the equipping role of the evangelist? And I've been praying for a couple of years. I shared this when we were going through this. I've been praying that God would send us the evangelist, because I just don't know who that is in our church. Then we started teaching this. I started teaching this, and I thought maybe what we should be doing is praying that God would raise up the evangelist within the church rather than praying for God to bring it in, because if the potential is there, shouldn't we be looking within ourselves? So I started praying, okay, God, do that. And now I come to this passage of Paul to Timothy, and Paul is saying to Timothy, it's your job. You apostolic teacher without the gift of evangelism, do the work of evangelism. Do the work of the evangelist. And I started thinking, is it me? And I started rethinking my understanding of how does God do this, and where do I actually fit into this? And I look at the admonition that Paul gives to Timothy, and I think it starts with the leadership of the church. I think it starts with the leaders doing the work of the evangelist, whether you're gifted for it or not, because the Holy Spirit can empower any way he wants. And so last week on Easter Sunday, I tried to preach like an evangelist. I tried to give a bold proclamation of the gospel with a clear presentation and an invitation. And I did my best. I did the work of the evangelist. And now over these next 7 weeks, I'm going to attempt to equip like an evangelist, to continue to do the work of evangelist, raising up the gift within the body of Christ. And even though, like Timothy, it's not my primary gifting, it's not my primary calling, I just wonder if Paul is giving an admonition to say, hey, this is your job, do this work. There's a really good example of how these two different works come together in the church, the work of the evangelist and the work of the body, and it comes to us in Colossians chapter 4. And so we're going to be using this particular scripture over the next 7 weeks as we learn to pray. And so in Colossians 4, it starts off in verse 2 saying, devote yourselves to prayer. Okay? Being watchful and thankful. Praying for what? What should we be praying for? Well, the first thing we should be praying for is in verse 3 and 4. Pray for the evangelists. Paul says you need to pray for us that God may open the door of our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And he says to pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. There is an obligation to proclaim the gospel of Christ clearly. So the first thing he says is you need to pray for the evangelists. And friends, if I'm reading scripture properly here, and I'm going to ask you for a response on this a little bit later on to see if this is resonating with the Spirit, that the Spirit would be affirming this in us, but is this what he's saying? That I need to do the work of the evangelist in proclaiming and equipping differently than I have been in the past? And if that's true, then you need to pray for me. This has to be a partnership. I was thinking about this, and I was going to say, if I'm, or how did I say it? I will do this if you will pray for me. I will do the work of the evangelist if you will pray for me. And then I started thinking, no, that's not accurate. I need to do the work of the evangelist because Scripture tells me to do it, not because you agree to pray for me. But, like Paul, I'm going to say, you need to pray for me. Like, we have to own this together. If we truly want to see people come to Christ through the ministry of Mountain Park Church, if we truly want to make a difference and be a fruitful congregation, then we have to be obedient to Scripture, which means I have to step into roles that aren't comfortable for me, and you have to step into roles that support that, perhaps even some roles that aren't comfortable for you. And so the first thing I want to say is, you need to pray for me and for the leadership of our church. You need to see the big picture and be a part in prayer for what God is doing in the big picture. The second thing he says is we need to pray for ourselves. You need to pray for yourself to be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. How to have the conversations. How to represent the gospel of Christ clearly. And that's the equipping piece that we're going to come to in weeks 3-6. Paul says there's clearly two different works of evangelism. I'm seeing this myself clearly, I think, in a new way for the first time as we've been discerning this together. But that both of these works need to be done. And if I'm reading Paul right, and if we don't have an evangelist, then it falls on the leadership of the church to do the work of the evangelism, and if the body pray. That's what I'm seeing in the scripture. Now I've prepared a prayer card. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would hand these out right now, and maybe we'll get one or two people to help so that we can get them handed out quickly there. But I'm just going to hold on until we get these handed out. But the first thing on the front side, it says appointed for fruitfulness. And this is going to be our theme through these 7 weeks. That phrase, appointed for fruitfulness, it actually comes from John 15, the passage on abiding. And Jesus says in there, the Father says, I've actually appointed you for this. So there's a responsibility here. This isn't optional for the church. This is something that we are called to together. So we're appointed for fruitfulness. And in that scripture, it says that when we're abiding, we can ask God for all kinds of things and that God will hear us. And so we're going to ask God for three different things. Skip the grid for just a moment, okay? Even though it's on the screen, I'm going to come back to that. Go down to just below there. We ask God for the evangelists. So I'm going to ask you to pray every day for the evangelists in our church. And I'm going to put myself in that list for now, and maybe there are others, and I hope God raises up others. But let's be clear that we need to do this work together. So I'm going to ask you to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray every day for these things, to put it in a place where you would be seeing this every day, so that you would pray for me and for our church and for the work of evangelism of the body. Second, beneath that, it says we pray for ourselves, okay? And that's what we just said, that we may learn to give an answer to everyone, that we would be equipped for this, and we're going to do the equipping, that we'd start praying. But then there's the grid, and I'm going to ask you to begin thinking about names of people that you would put on this grid. We have up there a phrase that we've been using, that we want to represent Christ in the places that we live, learn, work, and play. And what I'd like you to do this week, you can think about it now, but I'm not going to ask you to fill it out right now, is I want you to think about the places or the people in the places that you live that don't know Christ, okay? So there may be family members that you want to put in one of these boxes. maybe your children. I don't know who it is. But then there's also people that live in your neighborhood. And so what I did is I put the names of four couples. I have four couples, neighbors in us, immediately around us, that I put in my grid. For me, that represents the places that I live, okay? Then work. Well, I'm going, okay, just about everybody worketh as a Christian here, but I know that there are people in our church that don't know Christ, and so I'm going to pray specifically for the names of people in our church that don't know Christ, and so I'm going to write them on my card. Places that I was thinking, okay, I need to golf more so that, you know, I'm going to find some places. But there are places that we spend time that there are people that don't know Christ, and to pray for them every day. Even if you're not golfing with them or playing tennis with them or whatever you're doing every day, you can pray for them every day. I also have on my list, I have a friend who doesn't know Christ, doesn't come to our church. He's not, you know, I'm not playing golf with him, but it's someone that I'm regularly sharing Christ with. So he's on my list. I also have a place that I go for coffee regularly, one of the baristas there that I've been trying to share Christ with. So that person is on my list. So I've got my neighbors, I've got some friends that don't know Christ, I got my barista. So my card is almost full, and I keep thinking, like, I've got one more slot on my card, and I keep thinking, who should I put in there? And then I decided, I don't know if this is a good idea or not, but I just decided I'm going to pray for the opportunities that are unexpected. The opportunities that come during the day that are unexpected, that I didn't even realize that there was an opportunity coming. It's not someone I know, but who knows? Maybe I'm in the mall and I bump into someone and we start up a conversation. That I would be aware every day of opportunities that Christ might give me to share Christ, to share the gospel. And so what I've done is I've taken this already, and what I do in the morning, my quiet time, I do on my iPad. So I read scripture and then I journal. So I go to a different program and I start writing in. I've put this grid on my journal, and so every day when I open my journal, that's the first thing I see. And then I start typing above it, so it just keeps going down, and day after day, it's just the first thing I see when I open my journal. I want to ask you to find a way so that you will actually see this every day, and that you would commit every day to pray for people in the places that you live and learn, whether you're going to school or work or play or whatever it is. If we do this, and if we add the discipline of fasting to it, and if we actually do the work of equipping, and we'll come to these things, I believe that by the end of these 7 weeks, we will be prepared to share Christ in really effective ways with the people that we live with. And Jesus said, actually, he's quoting the Father said, I appointed you for this. If you look at John 15, you have been appointed to bear fruit. It's not optional for us. It is what we are called to do. I'm going to ask that we take some time right now. We've still got a few minutes, that we can take 10 minutes and break into groups for prayer. And I'm going to ask you to huddle up with groups, 5, 6 people, whatever works for you in your area. And I'm not going to ask you to fill in the grid right now. That you'll do at home. And I want you to, if you can think of it, bring it back with you. Well, it doesn't matter. But anyways, do that at home. Today, would you pray for the other two things? Would you pray for the work of the evangelist in the church? And while you're praying about that, I want to ask you to listen to what the Spirit says. Because this is what I think the Spirit is saying, but this is new for me. And I want God to lead us into this together. So whether you have that gift of just listening in prayer that God would affirm something to us, or to say, hey, there's a correction here that, you know, maybe that isn't what God is saying. This, it's a new teaching for me. I'm willing to embrace it, but I think if we're going to embrace it, we need to do it as a body. Does that make sense? So I'm going to ask you to pray in groups for the evangelists, verse 3 to 4 in Colossians, and then verse 5 and 6 to pray for ourselves that over the next 7 weeks we would be equipped for this good work that God has called us to do. Friends, we are God's kingdom people, and we have been appointed to bear fruit. May God release in us everything, all the gifts, everything that we need to be fruitful and effective in proclaiming Christ. Amen.